Okay, once again, thank you everybody for coming. I want to thank Rabbi Tavi Kozlov for contributing his Torah and his time. Next week is Dr. Chaviva Levine, 11. I don't have our topic yet, and then we'll take a two-week break. We have, I don't remember, Rabbi Adler, Rabbi Hartstock, and the other one's Phil. Oh, and Rabbi Ovi Jacob, Rabbi Adler's son-in-law.
Thank you so much, Dr. Friedman. Thank you all for weathering the impending weather outside. I wanted to study together with you tonight some of the sources that describe the concept of the Ir Miklat, the commonly translated as the city of refuge, where somebody who had mistakenly killed somebody else would run to one of these designated Arei Miklat, and by getting into the Ir Miklat, they are protected from the pursuit of the Goel Hadam, of the relative of the person who had been killed. And once inside the boundaries of the Ir Miklat, he is, you know, to some degree protected from that Goel Hadam pursuing him. And essentially, the question that I want us to really keep in mind as we look through the sources, as the source page indicates, is who is the Ir Miklat really meant to protect? I want to, you know, to keep that thought in mind as we look through the sources together. So in actuality, the concept of the Ir Miklat comes up a number of times throughout Chumash, most substantially in our upcoming week's Parsha and Parshat Maaseh. And we'll look together in the first section, source number one, from Bamidbar Perek Lamed Hei. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe l'emor, Dabrei al b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem, ki atem ovrim et ha'yarden artza Kana'an, once you pass over the Yarden, v'yikritem lachem arim arei miklat tiyena lachem, v'nas shama rotzech makenevesh pishkaga, that you're going to designate these cities of refuge, that anybody who had killed somebody bishkaga by accident, they will be able to run into one of these designated cities. V'hayu lachem he'arim lemiklat migo'el, v'lo yamut harotzeach ad amdo lefnei haidal mishpat. And these cities of refuge are going to function initially as kind of a like an initial holding cell. The first stage is the rotzeach, the one who accidentally murdered somebody, is going to run to this Ir Miklat, so that he can await trial in a safe place. V'harim asher titenu sheish harim miklat tiyena lachem. There are going to be six of them spread out. Et shalosh harim titenu me'ever le'yarden, bet shalosh harim titenu be'eretz kanan, harim miklat tiyena. There are going to be three of these cities designated inside the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, and three other ones that were outside. Livnei Yisrael v'lager v'l'toshav v'tocham tiyena sheish harim ha'ela le'miklat lanuz shama kol makan nefesh bishkaga. These are going to serve the function for this rotzeach to run towards one of these cities. V'im b'chli barzel, the Torah now goes into a few different scenarios about whether the Ir Miklat is appropriate or not for this kind of situation. In Pasuk Ted Zayin, V'im b'chli barzel hikahu v'yamod rotzeachu, mod yumat harotzeach. If the person was striking another person with an iron object, something a lethal weapon, the Ir Miklat is not for that kind of person. It is not going to provide refuge for that kind of person. He's an outright murderer for using a lethal object to strike another person. Second example, v'im be'even yad asher yamud va hikahu v'yamod rotzeachu mod yumat harotzeach. Likewise, if a person hit him with some kind of stone tool, again another kind of lethal weapon, the Ir Miklat is not for that kind of a person. Obichli eitz yad asher yamud bo hikahu v'yamod rotzeachu mod yumat harotzeach. Another kind of lethal weapon. In all of those cases, you had lethal intent with a lethal weapon. In those cases, the Ir Miklat is not for you. In all of those cases, goel hadam hu yamit et harotzeach b'figo bo hu yamitenu. Actually, what's going to happen is that the rotzeach will be quite, you know, literally handed over to the rotzeach to exact vengeance upon the loss of his own relative. He will be the one to execute that rotzeach in those situations. Another scenario that the Torah mentions, ve'im b'sina'a yehadfenu, o ishlich alav b'tzidia v'yamot, o be'eva hikau b'yado v'yamot, mo yumat hamakeh rotzeachu, goel adam yamit et harotzeach b'figo bo. Likewise, even if you're lacking, perhaps, a lethal weapon, but you had the lethal intent, even if the weapon was not necessarily of the same caliber as previously mentioned, that too, if you had lethal intent to harm that person, likewise, you're going to be classified as a rotzeach who is not protected by the ir miklat, and you'd be handed over to the goel adam, to the relative. However, we now come to the case which is meant for the ir miklat, pasuk hafbet, v'im befeta below eva hadafo, o hishlich alav kol kli below tzidia. If this was not premeditated, if this was not something that was intended to happen, o bekol even asher yamut ba below reud ve'apel alav yamot v'hu lo oyev lo v'lo mevakesh ra'ato. If in any capacity this was not what the rotzeach had in mind, he did not want this to happen. In that kind of accidental situation, v'shavtu pasuk chavdalet v'shavtu ha'ida bein hamakeh uvein goel hadam. In these situations, this kind of court is going to make a determination that this was a situation that was not premeditated, that was not intentional, and the rotzeach, this killer, will be returned then to the ir miklat, where he will be provided with refuge. V'hitzilo ha'ida et harotzeach, they're going to literally save him. Miad goel hadam, v'heshivo oto ha'ida el ir miklato, they're going to return him back into the ir miklat, asher nat shama, which he initially made a run for. V'yashav ba'ad moda kohen ha'gadol, and he is going to remain there within the confines of the ir miklat until the death of the kohen gadol. That is, there's no specific time sentence. It's not for 6 months, 10 years, 20 years. There's no specific time associated with the amount that he has to be in there. It's for some reason, it's associated with the death of the Kohen Gadol. That's when he will be allowed to emerge out of the Ir Miklat. The Torah goes on to explain that if at any point he decides to leave the Ir Miklat, he's at his own risk. At any moment that he steps out of the boundaries of the Ir Miklat, the Goel Hadam has full right to kill him, and the Goel Hadam in those situations would not be held halachically responsible for killing him. In the end of Pasuk Chavzayin says, Ein lo dam. There is no culpability, there's no responsibility for the blood that will be shed of this rotzeach. He should have stayed there inside the Ir Miklat. This section concludes on Pasuk Lamed Bet, Veloti Chu Kofer Lanus El Ir Miklato, Lashuv Lashav Be'eretz Ad Mota Kohen. And just as a reminder, the only way that the Rotzeach, that this murderer, is allowed to get himself out of the Ir Miklat is only with the death of the Kohen Gadol. You cannot, there's no other kind of arrangement or agreement or kofer or monetary compensation that would allow this Rotzeach to get out of the Ir Miklat. He can only get out with the death of the Kohen Gadol. So at first, yeah.
Twice you translated shkaga as accidentally. That's maybe what you want to talk about, but shkaga is really unintentional. Accidentally is actually a lower.
You're right.
Lower standard.
Thank you for the correction.
Wouldn't be subject to hearing about all.
Correct. Thank you for the correction. That this was not intended. This was not premeditated, and that's what made him appropriate for the Ir Miklat. Certainly, if we were to stop at this point and try to, come up with an understanding of the function of the Ir Miklat, it would seem to be that on the one hand, the Torah would seem to have some kind of understanding or allowance for the emotional state of the Goel Hadam, that after all, his relative was just murdered, baseless, without, it wasn't even, there's no explanation for it. There's no justification, that the Goel Hadam can wrap his head around. And that, kind of, you can imagine, kind of gives him this charge to just chase after this rotzeach, and you know, and he finds, you know, the Ir Miklat provides a certain amount of blessing, a certain amount of safety for the rotzeach. It comes up even more succinctly and perhaps even more clearly in the second source on the next page, in Dvarim Perek Yotet. Once again, we're told that this is going to be Ki Achrit Hashem Elokecha Tagoyim Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lecha Tartzam Vivishtam Vishavta Barem Uvatehem, that this is going to be something that you're going to do as you drive the other nations out of Eretz Kanaan. Shalosh Shem Tavdil Doch Artzecha Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lecha Lirishta Tachin Lecha Aderech Vishilashtat Gvul Artzecha. You're meant to not only establish these cities, but even prepare, you know, kind of the route, the path for the rotzeach to successfully make his way to this Ir Miklat. And pasuk dal v'zed davar harotzeach asher yanus shama v'chai asher yaked ra'ehu bevli dat v'hu lo soneh lo mitmol shel shom. In these situations, if this was not premeditative, if this was not intentional, he did not have some long-standing hatred for this person who died, then that is the kind of person who can flee into the Ir Miklat and live. Va'asher yavo et re'ehu bayar lachatov etzim v'nidchal yado bagarzen lechot ha'etz v'nashal ha'barzel min ha'etz u'matzad re'ehu v'amet hu yanus alachat ha'arim ha'ela v'chai. The Torah then gives another example of what could happen. A person is chopping wood, the axe flies off the handle and kills another person. That is particularly the kind of situation in which a person should flee to the Ir Miklat. Why? Pen yirdof go'el adam achorei otzech, ki yeicham levavo, vihisigo, ki erbe haderech vihikao nefesh, vihikao nefesh. And the reason why we want you to set up these distributed cities, you know, throughout the land, and prepare these pathways with clear signs delineating how to best get to these Ir Miklat, is because we're concerned that the Goel Adam is going to catch him. Ki yeicham levavo, he's in this, you know, in this heated emotional state over what happened, and if he gets that rotzeach on the way, lo emishpat mavet, ki lo sonehu, lo mitmol shel shom, and there is not going to be any kind of there's not meant to be any death penalty there, because this was not premeditated. This phrase itself at the end of the pasuk can actually be interpreted in a number of different ways. You could say that velo ein mishpat mavet, there shouldn't be any death penalty on this accidental murderer, because he did not intend for this to happen, and therefore we want him to be able to make it to the Ir Miklat. Alternatively, velo ein mishpat mavet, the goel hadam who is chasing after the rotzeach and successfully catches him and kills him, velo ein mishpat mavet, he will not be prosecuted for having killed the rotzeach, because he lo soneh lo mitmol shel shom, he did not have any hatred towards this man before he killed his relative. It's all fresh in his mind as well. Either way, you know, you had this situation of this emotionally charged situation that the Ir Miklat seems to be trying to create a buffer for, or some kind of safety net for. This is not this kind of recognition this kind of like sort of blood vengeance that that the Torah acknowledges and kind of allows for is not unique to biblical law. It appears in other tribal societies as well. I want to thank Ari Mermelstein for helping me find a source in the Middle Assyrian laws, which go back to the 1100s BCE, about 600 or 700 years after the Code of Hammurabi. And in the Middle Assyrian laws, you would find a similar concept in terms of this blood vengeance. If a man who has not yet received his inheritance share takes a life, they shall hand him over to the next of kin. Should the next of kin so choose, he shall kill him. Or if he chooses to come to an accommodation, then he shall take his inheritance share. So there are certainly things that are, you know, that are perhaps similar, and things that are most certainly different. On a very basic level, we have this concept of blood vengeance, of somebody killed your relative, you now have a right, you now have a claim to exact revenge against that person who wronged you or your family. I would say at least two areas which are significantly different between the Assyrian laws and biblical law are, number one, the very important difference that biblical law has between Shogeg and Mazid. If this was unintentional or intentional, that's something which is unique to the Torah's presentation. In Middle Assyrian laws, it doesn't seem to matter whether this was B'Shogeg or B'Mazid. In any situation, it would seem that they could exact vengeance. And the other thing that which you pointed out before, at the end of the section from Sefer Bamidbar, we were specifically told, "V'lo tikhu kofer lanus el aratzeh." You cannot take any kind of financial, make any kind of financial agreement or accommodation. And yet, in other tribal societies, they would allow for some kind of out. It doesn't have to be, you killed my brother, I'm going to kill you. We can also work out some kind of arrangement with an inheritance.
So hopefully you'll answer this question. I guess the first question is, it seems like you're either here or there, right? Either you're guilty or you're not, so we're trying to put this in the middle of that, but ruining your life, either kill him or don't kill him. Right? And B, what kind of society do we want where the citizens need not the punishments to take justice in their own hands? They can't. It sounds like it's so old school, I guess you kind of confirm that with the middle Assyrian law, that it's, it doesn't seem like it's very,
right. And it's not as though the Torah is not without structure and order for to handle these situations. There seems to be some kind of halachic vacuum that we are, it's kind of like turning a blind eye. Listen, we get it. You're angry, and we're going to try to create some kind of construct, some kind of structure for how and when you can channel that and how and you can't. But ultimately, there is this kind of, you know, leeway that the Torah, you know, allows for a person to carry out, you know, this overwhelming yecham levavo, this very heated feeling that, you know, that is going on for the Goel Hadam.
But to that point, though, if you have a relative that dies, right, you're not just like curse out Hashem, right? You're supposed to express that in Shiva, whatever the case may be. Why is this different where, all right, your relative died, you should kind of mourn the way people normally mourn, but it's you an exception now that you can kill the guy who killed you.
Right.
Your mother.
Right.
Why is that different than any other case?
That brings to mind the issues about Torah.
Yeah.
Also, we're kind of usually expected to keep our emotions and lusts under control, but in certain situations, it's around as it has a little leeway.
Right. I think there is, you know, there is that kind of, you know, parallel there of, you know, this isn't just a person dying when they're in a normal way at a normal time. They were wrongfully murdered, and that's, you know, I know the Torah seems to acknowledge that. What's interesting is that it's not just these three inside Eretz Yisrael or three outside of Eretz Yisrael, these six Aretz Miklat, which are the only places where a person can seek refuge. It's expanded in two other directions. One, it's slightly halakhically different, but the concept of a place of refuge is expanded actually to all of the Arei Levi'im. All of the Arei Levi'im, whether they were, these Arei Miklat are specific Arei Levi'im, but every Yerusha Levi'im also has a status to some degree of being a city of refuge for a Rotzeach. And another interesting case comes up from the next source, from Shmuel Perachav Aleph. Ma'ke ish v'meit mod yumad. If a person lethally hit another person, then they are put to death. V'asher lo tzadav Elohim ina liyado v'samti lecha makom asher yinus shama. If this was not intentional, and, you know, Hashem kind of caused it to happen, I have arranged a place for you to run to. V'chi yazid ish al re'ehu. However, going back to a case, if you had purposely killed somebody, lahargo be'orma, if you had killed somebody on purpose, even if they were holding on to the Mizbeach, you would pull them off and bring them to justice. The Rambam on the next source then makes the implication, HaMizbeach kolet. The Mizbeach can actually function also as a place of refuge. Shaharei ne'amar behoreg bizadon, me'im bizbachit tikachenu lamut. Because specifically in a situation where a person had killed somebody on purpose, it had said that we would even take you off of clinging to the Mizbeach, Mikhla, which implies Shehareg Bishkaga Eino Neherag B'Mizbeach. That if a person, if this was a case of unintentional murder, then the Mizbeach actually could be an alternative place of refuge. Leficha Chahoreg Bishkaga V'Kaltu Mizbeach V'Harago Sham Goel Adam Hareze Neherag Alav. So if a person killed someone unintentionally and found themselves at the Makom HaMizbeach, then that is meant to be a place of refuge for them. If the Goel Adam killed them there on the Mizbeach, the Goel Adam would be halachically held responsible for that. This concept also, turning to source number 6, the concept of the Mizbeach or the temple providing an alternate place of refuge also finds it's also found in other societies. The Roman historian Tacitus in the early 2nd century made note that in their time the temples were just overwhelmed with people who were seeking refuge for a variety of atrocities that they would head there for some safety and protection. So in general that concept of the Mizbeach being an alternate place of refuge also has similarities in different societies at different times. What I really want to do now is, to kind of, jump forward out of the sources from the Torah and take a look at some of the more specific details in halakha. Because the more details that emerge from the halakha, the bigger the question, some of the questions that, that you were coming up with, it only gets more and more strange in terms of what are we really trying to accomplish here? What are we trying to do here? Because it doesn't seem like this is all about a very angry Goel Hadam, a very, scared and nervous Rotzeach. We're trying to provide him with protection. There seems to be something else potentially going on here. If you look at the Ram...
What's that? That's a great answer that answers all
the questions. Exactly. And so in source number 7, the Rambam, I have a few scattered halachot here from Rotzeach Shmerta Nefesh. Nichnas le'ir miklato, if this Rotzeach makes it into the ir miklat, v'yatza chutz l'tchuma bezadon, and then he leaves the ir miklat on purpose, harezeh hi tzir atzmo l'mita. He is basically, you've taken your life at your own risk. If you're caught out there, v'reshut l'gol adam l'hargo, at any moment, if you have stepped out of the miklat, the goel adam has every right to kill you. V'im hargo kol adam, ein chayavin alav. But it's not only the goel adam who has an opportunity, who has a halachic allowance to kill that rotzeach. If anybody killed that rotzeach, if he steps out of the ir miklat, they're not going to be halachically punished for it. Shene emar ein lo dam. There is no kind of halachic problem with shedding this person's blood. Not only for the goel adam, but really anybody can take that kind of an action. The person who is in the ir miklat is not allowed to come out until the Kohen HaGadol dies. Again, there are various interpretations to try to explain why it would be that this would be tied to the death of the Kohen Gadol. Perhaps the Kohen Gadol, he had some responsibility. If he were a better and more inspiring leader, things like this wouldn't have happened, and that's why there's something going on here. But imagine, again, if this is about an emotionally charged Goel Hadam who is running and running and running after this Rotzeach, to take into the extreme, if immediately after that court determines that this was unintentional and we are going to bring him back to the Ir Miklat, if the moment after, Nigmar Dino, as soon as that determination has been made that this was a case of Shigaga and he should be going back to the Ir Miklat, if at that moment the Kohen Gadol drops dead, he does not have to go to Galut. And the allowance for the Goel Adam is gone. Well, that's what happened? Did his emotionally charged response suddenly, go away? That could have been moments, days, minutes. It could have been months and years later that would have given him time to just process it and handle it in the situation, perhaps in a more healthy, halachically appropriate way. But could have also just been moments ago that now this Rotzeach is now free on the streets and he cannot be attacked. So those are some initial questions. Why could it be that if this is really about the emotional charged feelings of the Gol Adam, why can anybody just exact punishment on this Rotzeach? And number two, if it's all about emotions, tying it to something like the death of the Kohen Gadol, which is so hard to predict when that's going to happen, seems also difficult. In the next halacha, katzav shayam katzev yigvia yado bakopitz, the Rambam goes into a very complicated case of a butcher specifically, depending on whether the butcher was in the upwards motion of when he took up the knife or the downward motion when he took down the knife. Depending on exactly which direction, at what specific time, did that knife fly out of the handle or fly out of his hand and strike somebody? And again, I know that we're trying to create some kind of just halachic construct for when is it really a case of unintentional, and when is it a case of complete accidental, and when is it a case of deliberate. But at the same time, if we're talking about emotions, it's so hard to kind of jive that with this very technical and specific bandwidth of this is a case that has halachically been decided as it was an upward motion, and therefore you have no right to be emotionally angry and you cannot charge after him. This is specifically a case that was accidental, and therefore, yes, go and chase him. To tie something so halachically detailed with something that before seemed to be so emotional and kind of boundless seems a little bit odd. Finally, and I think most strikingly, is the next halacha also in the Rambam. Rotzeach shenigmar dino lagloto. You have a rotzeach. They determined that he has to go to galut. He has to go to the Ir Miklat. Umet kodem shigale. But upon hearing that he has to go to the Ir Miklat, he drops dead. He drops dead. Molichin atzmotav l'sham. They bring his bones into the Ir Miklat. Why would they bring his bones into the Ir Miklat? It's done. The situation is over. It was tragic. The person killed another person's relative. And there was, he should have been going to this Ir Miklat to go through that, whether there was going to be some kind of punitive measure of the Ir Miklat itself. What possible reason could there be to bringing the bones of this Rotzeach into the Ir Miklat? Rotzeach shemeit b'Ir Miklato kovrino tosham. If he dies, then he has to be buried there in the Ir Miklat. Ube'et she'amut ha'kohen ha'gadol molchin atzmot ha'rotzeach misham l'kibrei otav. And then again, only once the Kohen Gadol dies, they will be able to bring that body or those bones out of the Ir Miklat to bury it together with his ancestral burial place. So something else is going on here. This is not just about providing the Rotzeach refuge from this emotionally charged Goel Hadam. If there was, why can anybody else take action against this Rotzeach? Why is it tied to something which is very unquantifiable, like the death of the Kohen Gadol? And why would there be any reason in bringing the body of that Rotzeach into the Ir Miklat? It would seem to be kind of like the end of this tragedy. Why does it have to continue, even in that situation? So here it is my attempt to wrap it all up, to pull it back together. I find it interesting that when in Sefer Yehoshua, when Yeshua is actually bringing the Am Yisrael across the Yarden, and they're at the point where it's time to designate and establish these Arei Miklat, the language that the Torah uses in source number 8, Vayakdishu et Kedesh Bagalil, Bahar Naftali, Vet Shechem Bar Ephraim, Vet Kiryat Arba, Hechevron, Bahar Yehuda. It's not simply that these cities are being designated or being set up. There's a concept of Vayakdishu, of there's a Kedusha There's some kind of specific sanctification that's going on with these Arei Miklat. You can see a hint at it as well, going back to in source number 9. If we look back in Sefer Devarim, Ki achvid Hashem Elokecha et hagoyim asher Hashem Elokeinu noten lach ha'aretzam, shalosh arim tavdil lach b'toch ha'aretzecha. Again, this language of havdalah, of kodesh and chol. There's something that's on a spiritual level that is defining these cities. They're not just cities with borders that provide protection. There's a level. There's a spiritual plane to each of these Arei Miklat. Again, looking at source number 10, it starts kind of jumping out of the psukim themselves. Velo tachanifu et haaretz asher atem ba. And if you by being mindful of these laws of Rotzeach and Goel Adam, that's going to allow you to avoid chanifat haaretz, some kind of a disgrace to the land. Ki adam hu yachanif et haaretz, because this spilled blood is an affront. It's polluting the land. V'la'aretz lo yichu pa'el adam asher shufach ba ki'im v'dam shofcho, that the land has been tainted by this shfichu dam. V'lo tetame et haaretz asher atem yoshivim ba asher ani shochem b'tocha ki ani Hashem shochem b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Sometimes in school, very often when I'm teaching children, I'll use this. There's this program that, I don't know if you're familiar with Wordle, this word cloud that you see beneath that. It's very helpful if you ever wanted to kind of identify, if you put like a whole parak of text or an entire, as much text as you want, you can cut and paste it into this program Wordle, and it will give you a visual representation. The larger the word, the more times that word appears. So you can see the word aretz, just literally, it jumps out at you. There's been an affront to the land. There's the fact that someone died, and that blood was spilled in Eretz Yisrael. It's not only a tragedy to the Goel Hadam. It's a tragedy. It's an affront, and it's an insult to Kedushat Haaretz. And that also has to be addressed. This isn't only about that this Goel Hadam was wronged. His relative should have had a long, healthy life, and it was cut short in this most tragic and unintentional way. But aside from that, in addition to that, we have this concern of Chanifat Haaretz, that there's been a pollution to the Kedushat Haaretz. And I think when you take that into account and you go back to even the very word of Ir Miklat, I've been using the translation of the city of refuge, that this is going to provide some kind of protection, some kind of destination for this Rotzeach. And that certainly is how Klita is often used in Tanakh. If you look in Masechet Ketuvot in Shas as well, Rabba v'Rav Yosef d'Amar Tarvayu Ksherin shebebavel Eretz Yisrael kolat tan Ksherin shebesharat so bavel kolat tan lemay l'inyan kvura. There's this discussion about if the worthy, the righteous in Bavel would have an opportunity to be given refuge, a place, a space in Eretz Yisrael when it comes time to be being buried, and if they're from other lands, then Bavel would be a very appropriate place for them to be given this space. But the concept of Ir Miklat, of Klita, is not just about providing space. There's another, a more intense use of the word Klita, like Rashi utilizes in Masechet Shabbat. If you're thinking about a concept of an object flying from Rishut HaYachid over Rishut HaRabim, and it just travels over the airspace, so there's this concept of v'niklat ba'avira, that that it was contained. It was absorbed. It was brought in by the airspace. And it makes me think that the Ir Miklat perhaps is not just about providing a space, a refuge from the Goel Hadam, that perhaps the Ir Miklat is like a containment center in some way for the Chanifat Ha'aretz, which took place. This Rotzeach, this unintentional murderer, has blood on his hands. That is a constant challenge to Kedushat Ha'aretz, and it can't be. Eretz Yisrael cannot tolerate that kind of shvichut dam naki in Eretz Yisrael. You need to, the Torah talks about velo takiyat ha'aretz, the land is going to vomit it out. It needs to get it out of its land, because it is a constant insult and affront to Kedushat Ha'aretz. So I wonder whether the concept of Ir Miklat is not only about refuge from the Goel Hadam, but it's almost acting in this in the way that, you know, that we talk about an embassy. Like if you're in a foreign land and you go to the American embassy, even if you're in the middle of Germany, if you walk within the boundaries of the American embassy, you are legally transported somewhere else. You are not bound by the laws of the land. You are now in a containment center that runs by a different set of rules. And perhaps the Ir Miklat is functioning this second kind of klita way, that it has provided a containment. It has provided some kind of place to gather together this Chanifat Ha'aretz, this affront and this insult to the land, and you need to be there. And perhaps the Goel Hadam is not meant to necessarily be, he's not there to kill him any moment that he dare step out. He's meant to ensure that he stays in there. The goal is not for him to mistakenly walk out and then be killed. The Goel Hadam is then standing there as a protector of Kedushat Ha'aretz. And that's why it's not just about the Goel Hadam. Everybody has reshut. This is not only about the Goel Hadam's right to exact punishment. Anybody else, any Jewish person, could exact that same punishment. Anybody else who's standing there outside the boundary of the Ir Miklat could serve in that same way of, don't you leave that Ir Miklat. As long as you're inside there, you are, that's where you need to be. Why exactly this is connected to the Kohen Gadol, I'm not exactly sure. I don't know. I'm not sure, but I think it's in the same kind of world. I think when you're talking about the world of Kedusha and Tum'ah, and that this is not just about the emotional frustration and anger of the Goel Hadam. There's also a level here of Kedusha and Tahara and Tum'ah of the land. Then the Kohen Gadol, I see that more in his domain, that as he passes away, there's some kind of Tahara that just gets exuded outwards and provides a fresh start for these unintentional murderers. And I think also, in terms of why, even after this Rotzeach dies, the stain, the insult that happened is still associated with his bones, and the body would have to be brought inside the containment of the Ir Miklat again until we have this spiritual restart which is initiated by the death of the Kohen Gadol, which then provides an opportunity for the Rotzeach, either alive or even dead, to be let out.
So I think the concept is great about Kedusha and Abdallah and that kind of container, how you put it, but it doesn't really fit into the words. The words are talking about killing him outside. Torah goes out of the way to point that out. So
Although the concept is it fits and makes explains a lot of things, can you fit it better into the words?
Right. So I wonder if it's not uniquely the concept of Kedushat Ha'aretz, but if both are there's sort of an interplay between the Kiecham Levavo, which is definitely there, but there's also this concept from that source number 10 is there. That's from the section of Arei Miklat, Lotachanifo Ta'aretz. That is the concluding message of this section of Ir Miklat. Because if you just ignore it, if you just allow people to have Shvichut Dam on their hands, it is a Chanifat Ta'aretz.
It also prevents the Gaol Adam, which would persist more Shvichut Dam.
Correct.
So it's what Tachnifo could be related to preventing the Gaol Adam from it.
Correct. Yeah, get it in this endless cycle of Shvichut Dam Naki that perhaps the Ir Miklat is meant to give pause.
So Marvin talked about how if it was judged to be an accidental death, because he goes in court they decide it's accidental. What was the process to get someone to the Ir Miklat? Is that discussed anywhere? How did they get there? Was he on his own? And that's why we have this whole conversation of look out for the Gaol Adam. He actually went via...
I think he first makes a mad dash for it himself, I believe. And that, you know, we're hoping that between the signs and the roadways that we repair and that he'll make it there. And then I think he's escorted out of the Ir Miklat for this court case. And then he would be escorted back so that, you know...
So when he makes a run for it, that's before the...
Right.
Which I think highlights what you were answering before. There's two separate parshios here. There's one as a refuge, there's one in the first sequence of events, and then there's a whole new purpose of a psak din of this area, which might be the two dimensions that you're mentioning,
right?
That actually happens in every sequence, in every, at least bi-dimensional.
Okay.
Show me in Vaishanan, as you view Moshe, something happened to Moshe. He started this out before the command. The command was Kitavu.
Right.
And he doesn't earn that. What you said is interesting because maybe Moshe Rabbeinu having destroyed all Melech HaMashiach and Sichon said, well, now maybe the East Bank has the same Kedusha as the West Bank. So as you have been time right. To do that, the Kedusha has to be mentioned somehow could make me think that the As, I was wondering what created that As. But what you're saying is that until the emotional opposing actions to fight them, you see what I mean.
Right.
And rather had it, as if now maybe Kedusha appears on the way on East Bank.
Yeah.
And Rashi says there that Moshe Rabbeinu did it, even though it was only kolid and only had an impact once Kedusha Sa'aretz took effect, which relates it back to the fact that this isn't just the refuge. If it's a refuge, then why didn't what Moshe Rabbeinu did by Ivra Yardin work on its own? The answer is you need to sanctify the land. Once the land is sanctified, now it can spill over and it can have that effect on Ivra Yardin also, which shows that there's something about the art.
Interesting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.